Welcome to my Blog Talk radio show, Love Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy and super excited to have my inspiring and fun friend, Robert Berry, back on my show. During the show today, you'll hear about Robert's music, past, present, and future. And you'll also get to hear three of my favorite songs by Robert during the show. Hello, Robert.
Hey, Margo. How are you?
I am so happy and excited to have you back on the show. It's been a little over a year since the last time you were back on, so we've got plenty to talk about today.
You know, it's funny because we did one December People show this year. I didn't really talk to anybody about it. You know, we just kind of had to sneak it in because they wanted us in at a casino in Reno, of all places, and we were trying for 8 years to get in there. And all of a sudden, when we're not going to play a year, they say, we want you. So we went and played, but I didn't talk to anybody about it, you know?
Yeah, I know, because usually we do two shows a year, you and I, and the second one is usually just before the December People shows, because I love those shows so much, too.
And well, just so you know, and it probably is iffy at this point, but I've already booked Pleasanton for this year in December, and they really wanted us to come back, and we're coming back there if people, if this thing that's going on, I'm not going to talk about it, but if it just disappears in the summer like some people are hoping, then things all of a sudden, you know, with our short attention spans, we'll be back to as normal as we can be. So we'll just wait and see, but we're booked in December at the Pleasanton Firehouse, and I think Reno again.
So is the Firehouse, is that the bigger one of the two places in Pleasanton, or is that the smaller one?
That's the really nice one there in Pleasanton.
The one that you did last
you've
year?
You've been there.
Not last year, but...
Yeah, you've been there.
Yeah, but
We did one in the gym before, the big gym, and it was not good. Pleasanton Firehouse is a nice theater. It's small. I think it holds 230 people. And it's just really classy, and the people there, they're just the best. We just love playing there.
Well, I enjoyed the ones that we saw down at the Heritage in Campbell, too. I think Dudley and I went down there 1 year by ourselves, and then I think the last time we saw you there was when we got to bring Xander for the first time, so that was really cool.
And I would love to do that again if, with all that's going on, you know, we like to do this for charity.
Yeah.
And of all the places, my hometown, I'll just say it, it's $10,000 to rent that place, and they won't give me a break on it. And it makes me mad, you know, thinking, wait a minute, we want to do this. Campbell's a great place to live. We're so lucky here. There's enough money to buy a ticket. Campbell should be giving back to the most needy citizens. Don't let them fall through the cracks. So where we make, you know, $25,000 selling tickets, it costs 10 of that to rent the theater. I think that should all go to the homeless and the hungry. And that's what I'm trying to do anyway. But they haven't budged so far, so usually I have to find a sponsor to pay that money, which, again, even though it's a sponsor, that could be going to the homeless too.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I'm not trying
to
be negative. You know, I don't like to be negative. I'm just trying to make more people be positive. Maybe that's the right way to frame that.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. You know,
anyway.
You're one of the people that says that I'm one of the most positive people you know, and a lot of people say that. And then there's also people that go, is she really like that? They ask Dudley. Is she really like that? And the thing is, I get down too. All the stuff that's going on out there, it's not that I don't see that it's happening. It's just I'm more like you in that I see it, and then I think, okay, what can I do about it? And if I can't do something about it, then I do something that I can do that'll at least help in my circle of control and circle of influence. In other words, what I'm focusing on, what I choose to do, what I choose to let things mean to me, and the actions that I take, that sort of thing. So, you know, we can only do what we can do.
Got to move forward. And you know better than anybody, you are what you think about, what you project into the world, positivity. If you're positive and you're excited about things, that rubs off on everybody and then comes back to you. But if you're all negative and down about it, and that comes back to you too. You know, you live in that, you wallow in that pity or that sorrow, that sadness, whatever. That's no way to be.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. It just, I wish more people could understand it, that what we think about expands, and that my teachers, Abraham Hicks, say that if you think about a thought, good or bad, doesn't matter which one it is, for at least 17 seconds, and then after that it starts attracting it into your life, and by about 68 seconds it's already starting to come into your life. So whenever I talk about something I don't want or don't like, I try to make it under 17 seconds. It's a challenge.
Well,
I mean, you know,
that's a good theory.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, one of the things that has been good, I think, that's come out of this whole crazy reality that we're living in is that I think people are starting to realize, number one, that we're all connected and that we're all have more in common than we have not in common. And number two is to really be grateful for all the people that are in the essential services. You know, everything from grocery stores to the nurses and doctors and, you know.
It's interesting in my town. I'm here in Silicon Valley, right? And I know San Francisco considers itself that too. Plenty of jobs. Very few people here can't work from home. And we have a very false, you know, we're the fifth largest economy here, Silicon Valley, in the world. And it's a very false sense of what really is going on. I think that's why people, I don't know what they're thinking. I really don't sometimes. It just amazes me. But most people have their jobs here. And that's not the same in the Midwest and stuff, unless you're an essential worker like healthcare and, you know, a doctor, a nurse. You're just not working. You can't work from home. And, of course, if you have a farm, you can work from home, but then there's all kinds of regulations and stuff and shipping things.
Right.
There's people in the middle of the country here that are really, really hurting. And I don't know what to do about it, but, you know, we, like you say, we just try to do the best for what our circle of influence is. Anyway,
exactly.
We don't want to talk too much about that. Everybody is in the same boat, and that's the good news.
You know, people have been saying that we're all in the same boat, but we're actually, like you were just pointing out, we're all in different kinds of boats, you know. Some people are in ocean liners, and some people are in leaky little boats. And you're right. I mean, Dudley and I are so thankful that we're able to work from home, and we have been working from home for quite a while because we've time here while Xander was in college, and he's already been out of college 8 years now. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm in the studio here. Nothing has changed for me whatsoever, even though I work for myself and, of course, my music clients. It was like you. You know, you guys, we did a couple albums together. Now, if you had a song you had to do, you'd say, look, you know, either you're comfortable coming in because you trust me. And when I say I've sanitized everything, you know, there's five booths here. You don't even have to be in the same room in a recording studio if you don't want to be. Easy to be 6 feet away. Or you can say, well, you know, we don't want to leave our home, so we'll send you the music. Just do that, and then we'll do the vocals at home for right now. And then when this is all cleared up, we'll come in and do the voice. I've been busy mixing people's stuff. They've been sending it to me online, albums they recorded at home. I've had a few clients in, longtime clients. One's an attorney, and she bleaches everything. She always does. I didn't even have to ask her about how sterile and how safe she is.
I didn't get it at first. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, I've been able to work. I haven't had a lot of people in the studio, but I'm not worried if they do come in. I'm not going to let any strangers in right now. But I keep it clean and I keep it safe, and I'm responsible for my own destiny. And if I get sick, I'm not worried about it because I'm healthy, but I don't want to get sick. And I've never wanted to get sick. I've always washed my hands. I always use Purell because I'm a singer. Right, so I have to sort of frame my life in this, I need to sing on Friday, or I need to sing the whole weekend on tour. I can't get sick. So I think that's the most wonderful thing that's come out of this, is a lot of people are saying, I can't get sick. And whatever that means to you, that's what you do. you know, and hopefully we're allowed to control that on our own, that little piece of it, because I don't like to be told that I am not responsible for Margo and Dudley's health if they come into my business. I want to be...
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, that everybody needs to be responsible. And, you know, one of the really dangerous things to do is to... somebody pointed this out, and I was so thankful, is when you get gas for your car, to, you know, it said to put on gloves, but then throw the glove away. So, you know what I did is I got a box of the really thin gallon baggies, the kind with the twister ties that I use for the cat litter, and
yeah.
I put it in my car, and then we just put one on our hand, our right hand, when we do the gas, put the gas in, and you can throw it away easily or go into the grocery store.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, otherwise, if you wear gloves in there and then you wear them out and keep using the same gloves, you're just going to have the germs on the gloves.
Well, see, that's the thing with the gas deal. That's the thing about having a Tesla. You don't ever get gas, so I can't relate. And well, let's not talk about this silly virus thing. It's going to go away. We're all going to be happy, and you know, it's going to be fine. That's
yeah.
it.
Yep. Yep. Well, that's what I'm picturing. I'm picturing us all being fine, and
yeah.
But you know, it also brings me to the song, the first song that I wanted to play. I have three songs queued up, just so our listeners will know. You know that I have three songs queued up, and what they don't know is that you only know the first one that I'm going to play.
That's
right.
And
they don't know the other two, and because you trust me, you.
Well, I do, but I'm hoping you don't play some song by another Robert Berry I've seen on YouTube, who does this weird, wacky music. So you never know.
You know, I have known you long enough that I know really well what songs are yours and which ones aren't yours.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah. But anyway.
And
I
have news for you on the new album that I'll tell you later that nobody else knows. It's
cool.
going to be a Margo exclusive.
Ooh, I love it. I love it. And we'll talk about that later on as we get, because right now we're kind of in the past anyway. So,
yeah.
I mean, as far as the past, present, and future is the way
Do we have to talk about the past viruses too? Because there's been a lot of them. Just kidding. Okay, next.
No. The good parts of the past.
All right.
So, I wanted to play, the first thing I want to play by you, though, is got the idea because of that cool little video that you did the other day, and posted it, I think it's on your website, and it has the song.
Real quick, if I believe you're going to play I'd Give Anything, which I wrote for my son, because I had written a song for my daughter, and I thought, oh, I got to write one for my son.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on an Alliance album. It's
mm-hmm.
one of my favorite songs to do live. And actually, Paul Keller, one of his favorite songs we do, too. He does some great guitar work in it when we do it as a duo.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided for this Hunger at Home benefit that they asked me to do that song. So I wanted to do things about my family and about hope and caring about things, because the Hunger at Home is a local organization here that feeds the homeless, and they are really tremendous. So that's how that all came about on that video you see on the website.
Yeah, and I've always loved that song, and I love the song that you did for your daughter, Allie, as well. what's the name of that song, though? I can't think of it.
It's Make a Stand.
No, that's not the one that you did for Allie that was about the love. Looking in her eyes and seeing the love. Oh, God, what is that one?
Oh, called? The True Meaning of Love was the very first one. That's right. That was that was one of the very first Alliance songs ever recorded. Yeah.
Yeah,
I love that song.
Absolutely love it. But right now, I'm going to play I'd Give Anything. It's 4 minutes long, and I will play that, and then we'll talk about it a little bit more after the song, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Oh,
Okay.
Oh, Robert.
There it goes.
I love that song. I love that song. And it reminds me of when, well, I've known you since way before either of us had kids. And so, you know, we kind of are before, during, and after friends during, you know, before, during, and after having kids. And it brings back memories of when your son and your daughter were little and when our son was little and growing up. And it also reminds me of, remember the tapes that I gave you, What Do You Really Want for Your Children by Wayne Dyer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, that's the thing. What do we really want for our children and for all of us? You know,
it's funny.
I know what I want.
I didn't really want to have kids. I knew I'd have them. I didn't really want to have them. And then, because I thought I'd only write nursery rhymes then, you know. It was all about music. It's always been for me. Then my daughter popped out, and I put out more music and more stuff. And then my son popped out, and you just heard one of the songs from that. And it inspired me in ways that I'd never felt or thought about before. You know, all I could think of is, oh, I'm going to write Mother Goose stuff if I have any children. Ah, geez, am I ready to give up my career? I don't want to be too old when I have kids. I better have one. You know, that kind of stuff. It was all like, you know, fighting myself. And then, like I said, when my daughter, when Alex popped out, it's like, no, they couldn't. Nothing was better than that. And listening to that, I got to tell you a funny story.
Okay.
David Lauser, Sammy Hagar's drummer, Gary, he's in Alliance, Gary Peel from the band Boston Alliance. The keyboard player, Alan Fitzgerald, on the first three albums. So the four of us started the band. But Alan hated the way David Lauser hit the drums so hard. And when I'm listening to it on the headphones here, I hear the snare drums really loud, right, in the mix, almost loud of the vocal. And I can still remember sitting here in Soundtech, I was recording that, like where I am right now, and Fitz, Alan Fitzgerald, looking at David, goes, could you not hit the cymbals, please? And if you do, just hit them really softly, you know. It was just really funny that he couldn't stand that loud drumming. And, of course, David Lauser's fantastic drummer. I just love working with him. But I sort of relive some of these things when I listen to the music. You know, and then that great guitar solo by Gary, I mean, that was, I don't even remember which album that was on. I think it was on maybe the second album. I don't remember.
This song was on Missing Piece.
Oh, but I didn't think that was the... I think the second. Anyway, it takes me right back there because I haven't heard the recording of that. Paul and I play that song, but I haven't heard it for a while. That was fun.
Yeah, well, I was really glad that you played it on that little video that you did because I'd forgotten about it too, you know. I mean, it's amazing how many songs that you've done and all the different albums that you've been part of and the ones that are your own. And I mean, it's just amazing when I think about how much music that you have helped create. And it reminds me of Maya Angelou saying to Oprah a long time ago, she said, your legacy is every life you touch. And when I think about the amount of lives you've touched and are still touching, not just with your own music, but with the music that you help the rest of us create, it just, whew.
You know,
it's amazing.
Once in a while I go into my lobby where you know I have all the albums up there, and there's probably, I don't know, 500 albums up out there. I mean, there's a lot of, and the CDs, people are pressing CDs still, right? Because when you play on a street fair or the smaller things, you want 1,000 CDs to sell to people because they want to buy them. And, you know, I play a lot of instruments, and mostly what I do down here is exactly what I did for you and Dudley. You know, Dudley plays a good guitar. You guys write songs, he sings, you sing, but the rest of it, you don't want to get a band together, so I'm your band. I do the drums, the bass, you know, keyboards, once in a while a guitar if I have to, you know, just because it's a little bit different. I'm like, well, what about this kind of guitar? You know, and I look at those albums, and most of them, because that's why people come to me, are me playing all the instruments on them except for what that person played. And I've had more studio time hours logged in probably than anybody in the world because that's the way my career is based. You know, most of it is at the studio doing these soundtracks for people. And I look and I go, wow, you know, that where have some of these people, this guy Paul that I did way back in the Tiki days, he's from Boston, you know. did two albums for him. There's 20 songs in Boston somewhere that I did all the music on, except for maybe not even, he only sang it, I think. Yeah, I mean, all over the world, some Japan, I mean, everywhere. And it is kind of exciting to think of that, although, I mean, it would never be identified, probably. Everybody has their own little piece of it. Like, how many songs have we done? Like 22?
No, I think it's like in the third, it's around 36. I don't know. I can't remember.
Wow.
But we have some songs that we want to record with you as soon as we can get back down there in person. And
talking about a sickness, a disease, recording the songs you write is a real disease. That's a real bad. You can't get rid of that.
Well, you know, one of the ones we have that we want to record, we've been doing these songs with for West Coast songwriters, and one of them is called Smile. And I swear to God, that song just makes me smile and makes people smile when we sing it. And I think that's really important. I think that that's one of the gifts that we can give to people when we go out is to smile. And unfortunately, with the masks and the bandanas, we've been mostly having on bandanas. Although I got a really cool mask that my friend Erin Birch, who is Laurel Birch's daughter, she was on the show last week. They've created these beautiful masks with the art from Laurel on it, and it's really cool. But people can see at least that you're smiling in your eyes.
Well, if you get a mask, they have some with your face on it now, when you put it on, it still looks like you. How are you going to be able to rob a bank and stuff with that? Come on.
I don't know.
You know, I prefer the black mask where they can't tell who I am.
But we also have a song that we're working on that we haven't even done for West Coast Songwriters yet. We're going to do it next month. It's called Angels in the Sun, and it's about our moms, both of our moms, your mom, all of the different angels that are up in the sunshine because they shine our love,
that's
their
cool
love down on us.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so that's another one you're going to get to hear in the near future. And then Dudley has one called Free Fall that he wants to do, and I've got lyrics for one called Live Your Music that we haven't done the music for yet, but I want it to be music that makes you get up, dance. I want it to be
Man, I hope
happy.
They come up with a vaccine for this problem really soon, I tell you. Sounds like it's getting out of hand.
What, my enthusiasm?
The songwriting.
The songwriting, yeah.
If people
come in,
we're working on an album, and right in the middle of it they go, I got another song I ought to do. This has been so inspiring. I'm having so much fun. I wrote another song. And we'll be doing 10 or 12 for an album. They'll bring in song 13, right? And I got to do this song. Because it's so much fun to express yourself from inside to begin with, just on your very own. But then all of a sudden it takes on this life of its own in a recording and something you could present to the world. It's just really inspiring.
I know. It's number one, it's so much fun. I mean, you are so much fun. Somebody on Facebook had said Robert's middle name is fun. And I agree with that totally. But we have had so much fun, so much laughter, so much joy each time we've recorded a song with you. And then on the way home, we listen to them over and over again. And then we get home and listen to them on their headphones over and over again. You know, it's just, we have such joy from it. And I don't want to run out of time, though, to play the other songs that I have queued up for you.
Okay.
So I think I'm going to get on to the next one. And do you want me to tell you what it is?
Yeah, you want me to talk about it, or you just want to play it? I don't know what it is, so I might have something really bad to say about it. Oh, not that one.
Okay, do you want to hear it first, or do you want me to tell you what it is first?
Go ahead and play it first. That would be fun.
Okay, here it is. Thank you.
turned my head, looked away as the future turned to dust. Now the hands that we held high are holding back the pain inside. But I know that no one else is blamed. You must think I'm happy.
Goes.
Surprise.
You know, and I will say quickly, that's one of my all-time favorite songs that I got to write with somebody. I wrote that with Steve Howe.
Mm-hmm.
But that is my version of what I thought GTR should be. They kind of changed things after I left to be a little bit lighter. And that guitar solo, you know, when I'm in the studio here, sitting in the chair,
mm-hmm.
I can make up guitar stuff. I can punch in, I can fix things, whatever. And that's one of, I believe, my favorite and probably my best all-time guitar solo. But what happened on tour is the 3.2 band played that song, and the first night
mm-hmm.
we played it, Paul Keller had worked super hard to get that solo even better than the album is. I mean, he just really made that amazing. And we ended that song, and I never thought I'd play that song live ever, because GTR was 30 years ago, you know, and
right.
Paul played that so flawlessly and so just wonderfully. It brought a tear to my eye. I had to sort of look away from the audience and just go, whoa, that was just one of those moments for me with everything I've done that was super special. And I could just tell he worked so hard to get that thing just screaming, you know. It was really, really great to be able to play that song on tour. I never thought I'd be able to play that live, and there we were doing it. And Andrew, of course, great keyboard player, had
mm-hmm.
the sounds, and Jimmy is a fantastic drummer, just brought that song to life on the stage. It was really something.
Yeah, I'm so thankful that we got to go see you guys on your tour in Redwood City. We were at the Redwood City one, which I think was
yeah.
like maybe the second night.
I think it was the second, yeah. We were in Santa Cruz at the Catalyst first.
Yeah.
And that actually was an eye-opener for me, because people are there that wanted to see the music live. I mean, they bought albums and stuff, but they showed up. I'm like, wow. And then, of course,
mm-hmm.
the second night in Redwood City, the
mm-hmm.
sound was even better, because there was a better-sounding room. And
mm-hmm.
I was amazed at the people I knew that were there. You know, I think 2/3 are people I actually personally knew, like you and Dudley,
mm-hmm.
and some local musicians here that I would never think would come out and see me, went on, traveled, you know, the 45 minutes Redwood City, and it's sort of, at first I felt uncomfortable. There it is in the marquee, Robert Berry's playing, oh, geez, you know, I don't do this
You got to get over that.
Well, but, you know, it's just the way I am. But when people started coming out to hear it, I felt like, well, they want to hear. Maybe they just want to see if I'm capable of doing it and if the band's any good. But either way, they wanted to hear it. And I started feeling like, wow, this music means something to people. And then, of course, when we went back east and people I didn't know and in corners of the world I'd never seen, and people were coming out because they wanted to hear it, it was empowering in a personal way, actually, to want me to do this album I'm right in the middle of right now, which we'll talk about later, I'm sure. But
yeah, oh yeah, and we don't want to run out of time for it. But
yeah.
I just wanted to say back to the Redwood City one, that night was the night I got to meet Dwayne in person.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was there, and he and Rolf were both on the tour with you during parts of the tour. So, I mean, that was so cool to be able to get to meet him in person. He came and sat with us, and I remember seeing Mary Ellen there and Tom, her husband, and Paul's wife was there. And, I mean, there were just – oh, and Anil, he was there, too. I remember that was the first night I met him in person. He was in line right in front of us.
Funny thing happened that night is that Rye Kinn, Greg Kinn's son, you know I'm in the Greg Kinn band.
Right.
I've been working with Rye for 12 years, 15 years, whatever it's been. And he came to the show, and I had a story for every song because I was playing my history and music, all the guys I worked with. And after the show, he comes up and he goes, wow, Robert, I had no idea you did all that. Because I don't talk about it, you know. I just do it. I'm a doer. I love doing it.
You've
and I'm
never
always looking
been a
at,
bragger.
What am I going to do tomorrow? What can I, how can I be stay viable and make a difference? And he went, I had no idea you did all that. And it was just kind of made me laugh. Oh,
yeah.
That's cool, right?
Wow.
It was a good night. Really good night.
Oh, it was so, so much fun. I'm so glad that we went to that particular show because it wasn't a large venue, and so we were all relatively close. And like you said, so many people that know you and that we knew and everything. It was a night I will remember forever. My only regret is I wish I could have gone to more of the shows, but, you know, you can only go to so many. And
we only did four here in the West Coast. It was mainly, you know, we did, 27 cities, and most of them were East Coast.
Yeah, exactly. That was part of the reason that I couldn't. And one of the ones for the West Coast was down in Southern California, so that was too far for me to go to.
An amazing venue of artists, and it's actually a ballet, a dance studio. And it's even closer up. It's a little bit bigger than Redwood City was, Club Fox. But they were right there, right in your lap, and it was really cool because, you know, it was the fourth show in or the first show? The fourth show.
Yeah.
No, it was the third show, I guess, because then the last one was the Pleasanton Firehouse.
Oh, right,
so,
yeah. Oh, I wish I could have
on this coast,
too.
Yeah.
You know what? We're going to run out of time, though, so I want to play the next surprise song and then which is the last one I have queued up for the time. And then we can talk about that, and you can give us your announcement.
Okay.
I'm dying of curiosity. I'm sure the listeners are, too. But let me get this song queued up here so that we're ready to go. Okay. You ready?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, what?
You have a Hush album, too. That worries me.
I would love to. You know, I had a hard time picking only three, but no, these are, you'll see why I picked this one.
Okay.
Here.
Okay.
Okay. Well.
There it is. Yeah, that's that was
what
the song
you're dreaming
on.
Now. What you're dreaming
yeah.
now. I just wanted to, you know, I didn't mention the title of the other one. It's No One Else to Blame, and that one was from Pilgrimage to a Point, which I've seen a lot
That's
of
right.
people talking about that album, Pilgrimage to a Point, on Facebook, and I love that album. I've had it since when it first came out, and it's
well, I should
a favorite
tell you that there's going to be a re-release of that next year, probably in April. The new album's going to be out in January, I believe. We'll see what the record company wants to do. They want to release it in August of this year. We're trying to push it back to January, sort of just forget this year.
Mm-hmm.
But Pilgrimage to a Point had two versions. It had two different songs on between the two versions. And the new version is going to have all those on it. And it's going to be like a 30-year anniversary version or whatever, 32 years, whatever, 35 years, whatever it's been.
Whatever,
and one song
many
that wasn't
years,
used,
yeah. mm-hmm.
a GTR song called Young Hearts, I don't believe was ever used on anything. Maybe it was, and there's another one. It was going to have
That's
everything.
That's familiar. I think I've heard that one before. I'm just not
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, maybe it is on something. Too many things to remember on the albums.
Yeah.
But it's going to have everything on it. And a little bit expanded booklet and typos corrected, all that kind of stuff. And it'll be kind of a deluxe edition of that album, remastered, because the mastering is so much better now sound-wise. That anyway, I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
What You're Dreaming Now, of course, was the one song on The Rules of Change that Keith and I had worked on way back in 1987 that I thought
oh, really?
At the time was too straight and didn't want to add to the album and then move ahead 30 years and... There was some stuff in there which just was so good. And actually, those guitar riffs, were made up by Keith. He likes the really heavy stuff. And, of course, his left hand was so strong. And the new album has quite a bit of that on it. And I guess I should tell you, I will say, the only person that knows this is Rolf, because Rolf single-handedly, in my book, restarted...
Mm-hmm.
The popularity of Three by doing the Three Facebook page and just researching everything. And I thought, you know, I owe him this. So I called him yesterday. I said, look, I'm going to talk about this on Margo's show, but I want you to know that the Emerson Estate has given me the right to do the one song that I didn't use on The Rule of Change, the one last song that Keith and I worked on. It's almost 9 minutes. It's tremendously impacted with real Emerson writing that his style shines on it, and it's called Never. I'm really excited about it because I think it's going to be the flagship song of the new album. And it was done with Keith, where you know last year or the year and a half ago when I did The Rules Have Changed. As far as I knew, that was the only opportunity I was going to get to work and use the material that Keith and I had talked about and had a plan for. Because I thought the Emerson Estate wouldn't let me do it. And The Rules Had Changed was so successful and got such good reviews that
mm-hmm.
when I sent them the song and said, look, I would really like to hedge my bet here and hope you guys will let me use this. It's a great piece of music. It was too long for the last album.
Mm-hmm.
I want to put it on this one. And they said unanimously, we'd be honored. We think you did a great job. Go for it. So
Aww.
I'm going to have another... Robert Berry, Keith Emerson, or Keith Emerson, Robert Berry is the way it should be, composition on this album that I'm super excited about.
Oh, I'm so excited, too. And you said it's going to be called, it's called Never?
Never.
I am so mm-hmm. curious what the lyrics are.
I was going to shorten it to Nev, but, you know.
To Now?
Now, yeah. No, it's. Yeah, it's about, this album's a little different. I was in such a saddened state on The Rules of Change lyrically that things came out of me that
mm-hmm.
were good things, but very emotional things, very personal things. And this one's positive in a more what the hell is going on. Okay, let's be positive, you know. Let's
mm-hmm.
never give up our freedom. Let's never, you know, lose sight of what our forefathers have given us. Look at this life we have. It's that kind of stuff, you know. It's positive, but it's
no. We need that right now so much.
Yeah.
Wow. But that might not come out until January. You said, right?
I'm actually hoping that now. We have a whole plan for next year that includes the new album, which is called Third Impression, which
Third
includes
Impression?
The Pilgrimage to a Point classic sort of re-release series of everything on it. It has to do with a tour and in Europe, which was canceled. We had a great tour set up this year. It was canceled because of what's going on. Hopefully next year we can do it. And then some more, maybe East Coast dates, but California dates. We'll definitely, if we're going to play Europe, we'll do two or three, maybe six even, West Coast dates. So yeah, next year could be a big year if we can all be comfortable, which I'm comfortable already. I'm ready to go, but everybody has to be comfortable.
You know, I totally trust you. You know, trust has been coming up so much for me lately in my life and in the world. And the thing is that you have to know who you can trust. And being responsible for your actions and knowing that your actions affect everyone around you, you know, within your circle of influence, then, you know, if you're careful, then it should be okay, I think, to be able to get together and do some songs. So we ought to come down.
Well, yeah, you know, there's all kinds of theories and all kinds of stuff flying around. I sort of don't believe any of it. I just, you know how I am about my intuition. My intuition has guided my path to the kind of success I want, let's say. You know, I work with a lot of good people. I've managed to do music I love to do the way I want to do it. It's all been intuition sort of guiding me. I always let it go, you know, just move forward with it. And we'll see. I'm thinking next year is going to be a really big one. It's supposed to be this year. Unfortunately, it wasn't because of things. But I tell you, it was looking really good. The doors were opening. Mm-hmm. Last year's tour was successful. The band is really good, as you know.
The
guys couldn't work better together. Everybody gets along. And Andrew, he's a machine, that guy. He does everything. I mean, I don't know how he does it. Plus, he's a doctor, you know. You just can't stop him.
You know, I am so glad I got to meet him and Jimmy at the Redwood City event because, you know, obviously I've known you and Paul forever, or what feels like forever, because I met Paul in when I was working at Warehouse Records back in 1974. And then I ended up meeting you through meeting Gene at West Valley College when I was signing up for art classes because my grandmother wanted me to be an artist. So that's why I was taking art classes.
Not the singer.
Well, I didn't believe that I could sing because she had said that I should forget about singing. I heard her tell my mom that.
Yeah, that's funny.
And it was so important to me that I believed her, and so for a long time I wouldn't even sing. And, oh, God. You know, one thing I want to say to everyone out there is if you like to sing, sing just because it's joyful. Don't, you know, not because you have to be the best singer in the world, but do it because it feels good. I think everybody would benefit by singing.
And I have tools to put you in pitch if you need to be. If they can't really sing, I can make you sound like you can sing, so that's good enough, right?
True. But, you know, when you said about your intuition, that's me, too. I mean, I always listen to my intuition. And my teacher, Sonia Choquette, had taught me that intuition is moment to moment. It's never about what's going to happen next week, next year, or whatever. It's not about even what's going to happen tonight. It's by being in the moment and listening to what your heart and your gut are telling you and your body's telling you, because our body is the one that really tells us the truth, you know, whether we can trust somebody or not, or trust a situation or not.
Yeah, it's hard for me to tell where it comes from. I just, my mom had it, and I have it, at least that works for me, you know. It doesn't work for everybody, but it works for me, and it just is. It's just one of those things that is. You know, some people get lucky and have some kind of insight that guides their life and keeps them safe and happy. Mm-hmm. And other people, like, can't seem to get a break, and I feel for those people. I'm not sure. You know, sometimes I go back to the Buddhist thing, you know, do you earn the next life by being good in this life? And if you're bad in this life, do you pay for it in your next life? I mean, I don't even know if I believe in that, but
you know
what? There's some explanation somewhere, and my intuition tells me to live a good life, treat people the way you want to be treated,
mm-hmm.
and follow your instincts or your intuition. They usually aren't wrong. You know, very few people that I say I don't like or that I don't find something good in. But
mm-hmm.
the ones that something's wrong, I'm clear. I just stay clear. They're just not in my life. And I got to cut them out. That way I have no gray clouds hanging over me. It's all people that I feel good about. And so far my intuition hasn't been wrong as far as I know. But, again, I'm not a guy that thinks I know everything and that
mm-hmm.
I'm always right. I'm not that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I just do what's right for me.
Well, you know, I was going to ask you what you wanted to leave our listeners with, and I think that's pretty darn good, but we still have 3 minutes left. So is there anything else you'd like to leave our listeners with?
You know, I am just having the greatest time working with people right now in the studio because I feel like my life hasn't changed. You know, my internal, what I do, and what I can do for people, I do a lot by email here, soundtechstudios.com, where people will book sessions through that. I'm getting a lot of emails, a lot of people that want to do things without coming in the studio. And, you know, thinking that in a couple months, in the middle of summer, if, you know, viruses go away in the middle of summer usually anyway, we'll see what happens, that
mm-hmm.
I can get their music going, and they'll come in and do their vocals and stuff in a couple months. And I'm just really inspired by the fact that people aren't letting this stop them. There are all kinds of things I could say that make me mad, like, you know, the Tesla plant we talked about, not being able to reopen that when I've seen such huge steps being made in keeping people safe and far away from each other and able to make their living and be productive. All that kind of stuff really bothers me, but I don't really get too political about things. I just want to do what I do.
Concern, but it's not in our circle of control. That's the thing, you know. And my only thought
about
it. Well,
there's a problem too that I don't want someone controlling past their. That's why we're free in this country. I don't want people controlling people past what they should. Their circle of control should be, you know, like we're saying. If it was you coming in the studio, I'd say I totally trust Margo and Dudley. They can come
mm-hmm.
in. I'm not even worried about it. Come on in. I mean,
mm-hmm.
things are sterile and cleaned here anyway, like as a doctor's, probably better than a doctor's office, because I want to make sure I can tell people. But, you know.
And you don't
want
to, you want to stay healthy, too.
Well, perfect example. My daughter has a tanning salon in Martinez, Concord area.
Mm-hmm.
And a tanning salon, you don't touch anybody. You have to sterilize the beds. She has UVC wands. She has more sterilization. Everything is so clean that if people wanted to come in her business and get a tan, and vitamin D actually is very important to your health, and you can get that from the tanning beds. You know, you can't get the kind of UV light that kills a virus, but you can get the vitamin D, which is good for you. She opened and they shut her down. And finally, she called the DA's office, and she goes, look, I'm more sterile. I'm cleaner than any business. And they said, well, if you had a doctor's note, okay. So she got a doctor to say, yes, I have people that need this treatment for their skin. So she has a doctor's note. And somebody in her complex in the mall there is calling, and the police have been out twice. And she finally said, look, I have a doctor's note. Come in. Take a look here. No one's even 6 feet close. Everything's super sterile. Those are the things I don't like, when oversight is overreaching and things can be done to be normal and feel normal that are super safe. And I'm getting a little bit angry about it, not because of my daughter, just because I don't believe in that kind of oversight. I don't think we've come this far for that. But anyway, you know, I didn't want to get into that.
Yeah.
It's not thinking, but it does make me mad.
Yeah, we're out of time. Oh, my gosh. Robert, it's always so much fun talking to you. Please, everyone out there listening, share this link for the replay for this with your family and friends. And Robert, you please remember to share it too. And I know that Dwayne and Ralph will, and so will Ian.
Oh, yeah, Ralph is on top of everything. Dwayne, you got to watch that guy because he lives close. He can actually come after me if I do something wrong. So they just sent me a bunch of pictures for the album, too, which is really cool. I'm going through them, sent them to Rob Fowler, the guy who does all my artwork and website and everything, and it's going.
Cool. I can't wait to see it. All right. Well, thanks again for being on the show, and thank you so much for living your music.
I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks
for having me.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now, everyone.